And the thrust of this passage is to be thankful. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Let's read our text. The first part of it we won't deal with just by understanding it. Verses 1 to 11. How that the blood of the animals could never take away sin. And that was never God's purpose. So let's see that first. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made. The first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while at the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, divers washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you tonight. We want to thank you for the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that was shed on the cross for our sins. We thank you now that we can understand the importance of that blood tonight as we think of all the animals that had died and could never take away sins, the sins of mankind. But we thank you for the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And we thank you, Father, that tonight we can understand this wonderful truth of the New Testament and apply it to our hearts, apply it to our lives every day. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there was a medical doctor, Dr. M.R. DeHaan. He was not only a medical doctor, but a theologian. And he wrote about the blood. And he says, The Bible is a book of blood, wholly distinct from all other books for just one reason, namely that it contains blood circulating through every page and in every verse. From Genesis to Revelation, we see the stream of blood. So from the first verse of the Bible to the end, there's a trail of blood that moves its way through the pages of Scripture, revealing a portrait of redemption that is available to all who will come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. The passage which we have read here speaks of the blood of Christ, but it also speaks of those Old Testament sacrifices and that system of sacrifice. Remember, there was a morning and evening sacrifice. Could you imagine all the animals that had to shed their blood? Millions upon millions of gallons of blood were shed to cover the sins of the people. And the sin was only covered year by year. This is why they had to keep coming back, because it was just covered. And that blood, all that blood that was shed, never saved a single soul. And that's why we're reading here in our text. It says in verse 9, which were a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. So it couldn't perfect anyone. It couldn't save anyone. And aren't you thankful tonight what the blood of bulls and goats and lambs could not do, the blood of Jesus accomplished. Amen. These verses give us some insights of what the blood of Jesus does for all those who trust Him by faith. Let me share just a few out of this passage tonight. Number one, verse 12. We're going to pick it up with verse 12. We see the purchase of the blood of Jesus. The purchase. What does it say here? Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen? Amen. Jesus, His blood, the Bible tells us, is without spot. He's without sin. I think it mentions this here. He was, verse 14, He offered Himself without spot to God. Amen. Without sin. Now, animal blood couldn't do that. Neither could the blood of any other man. Why? Because it says, for by one man sin entered the world. His purchase is precious. Amen. Because He paid for it with His precious blood. Amen. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is our Savior. So Jesus' blood was the only blood, the spotless blood, the sinless blood that could satisfy the demands of a holy God. It was only Jesus. But you notice, go back to Hebrews 9:12. His purchase is not only precious, it's personal. Look what it says here in verse 12. He didn't enter by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. By His own blood. I don't think the depth of this statement will ever be plumbed by human minds. Amen? To understand this demands that we understand how God Himself could be born in human flesh, and how He could submit to death, the death of the cross for us as sinners. Just meditate on that. It is taught in Philippians, we will not go there, but he tasted death for all men. He tasted death for all of us. He would love us even while we're yet sinners. Can you imagine? He's willing to die for us. He's willing to pay this price for us even while we're yet sinners, the Bible tells us in Romans 5:8. So it's precious, it's personal. But aren't you thankful what the verse says? Go back to Hebrews 9:12. It's permanent. It's eternal. What does it say? Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. It's eternal. It's permanent. What Jesus has done is once and for all. That's what he's talking about here. It's once and for all. He only had to do it one time. And this eternal, he obtained it. That's a one time for all action, that verb. It's eternal, meaning it's constant, it's unending. Amen? It abides forever. And then redemption. It's telling us about the redemption. It's an eternal redemption. And it's by his blood. And this means when you're redeemed, it means to be released after the payment of a ransom price, after which the guilty party is forever delivered from all guilt and punishment. He redeemed us by his blood. It's an eternal redemption by the blood of Christ. I hope tonight you're thankful for the price that he paid. And the fact of the matter is tonight, if you're saved, you're saved forever. What a blessing, amen? And how is it possible? It's because Christ's sacrifice is so much superior to that of animals and to that of the Old Testament. And his New Testament is so much superior than the Old Testament. Amen? And so, when the Bible says he removed our sins, he removed them forever. Forever. So we see tonight the purchase of the blood, but secondly, the power of the blood. Amen? There's power in the blood. We sang about that tonight. Look at verses 13 and 14. What does the blood of Jesus do for you? What power does it have? It says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience? Now remember, the blood of these animals could not purge the conscience. Amen? They didn't offer that a power of salvation here. But here we have the word purge. And it means that when you get saved, the blood has the power to cleanse you, to cleanse your conscience. Means that word purge means to cleanse and free from filth. Really, the word purge, the picture we have is the cleansing of lepers or a ceremonial cleansing. And so we know that the blood of the Old Testament sacrificial system could never completely cleanse the sin, the stains of sin away. But the Bible tells us that Jesus' blood cleanses us completely. Amen? Go to 1 John 1. It's close by here. Very familiar passage about the blood of Christ and how it cleanses us. Tells us in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen? Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So not only does it have a power to cleanse, as we see in the Bible, it has a power, the power of the blood is to change us. Not only cleanse us, but it changes us. Think of that verse back in Hebrews 9 again. When it starts talking about purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And only the blood of Christ can go that deep in us, amen? Can go that far in us to change us, because it is with our conscience that we have the power to choose between right and wrong. And so we know that the blood of Christ cleanses even our conscience. It cleanses our heart. It cleanses us and it results in a change of lifestyle. Amen. The Bible talks about this, that it is a new life that we have received by the power of the blood of Christ. A new life. I think of 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This is a new life, amen? Now, when they went to the Old Testament, the tabernacle and the temple of the Old Testament to worship God, do you realize that when they left, they were not changed? They were not changed. They had to carry that. They had to continually bring those sacrifices. They were the same person that they were before the sacrifice. But when a person meets Jesus Christ and his shed blood, the change in that person is dramatic. It's glorious. Because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and Jesus cleanses us in our minds and our hearts, and he works in our affections. He works in every area of our life. That's the power of the blood. There's a story about John Wesley. He was an evangelist back in the 18th century from 1703 to 1791. And he was returning home one night from a service where he's preaching, and he was robbed. And the thief found that he had very little money. Amen. And he had some Christian literature. But as the thief was leaving, Wesley called out, "Stop, I have something more to give you." And the thief stopped. And Wesley said, "My friend, you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Then the thief hurried away, and Wesley prayed that his words might bear fruit. Years later, Wesley was greeting people after a Sunday service when he was approached by a stranger. What a surprise to learn that this visitor, now a believer in Christ as a successful businessman, was the one who had robbed him years before. And he said, "I owe it all to you." And then Wesley exclaimed, "Oh no, my friend, not to me, but to the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin." Amen? And it does. It has the power to change. The power to change. And we know there's a promise here. The promise in verse 15 of Hebrews 9. The promise of the blood. It's powerful. And it does speak a little bit about this power, even in the promise in verse 15. It says, "And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. This word redemption, again, comes back up. Amen. We read about it in verse 12, eternal redemption. And his death was for the redemption of transgressions. That's our sins. And so this promise, there's a twofold promise here. Number one, God promises you freedom through the blood of Christ. That's what redemption means. He's buying us back from the power of sin. He releases us from sin's bondage. He frees us to live for God. This is the promise. It's a promise of freedom. And this freedom comes if you are born again, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. What happens to us? As we know in the New Testament, the Bible says that we, when Christ died, we died with Him. If we know Him, we are crucified. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Paul said in Galatians 2:20. And so we live now by the faith of Jesus Christ. We live by the power of His resurrection. In fact, in God's eyes, that old life, all of its failures, all of its wretchedness is gone forever. And a new life is given to the redeemed child of God. Aren't you thankful that the past is gone? We have freedom from the past by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's not only the promise of freedom from the past, we have a promise of the future. What is that promise? That's what he's talking about here. We receive the promise of eternal inheritance. This is speaking of everything that we preached about that's coming for us, that God has for us, even His kingdom, even the new Jerusalem, even the new heaven and the new earth, as we've been preaching about prophecy. This is the promise of our future. It's an eternal inheritance, amen? And it's all because of the blood of Christ. It's all because we trusted Him as our Savior. And when we did that, we became joint heirs with Him. Amen? That's amazing that what God has given Christ, God's going to share with us in eternity. And we have this assurance. Remember, when Jesus promised the disciples, He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. That where I am, you thou may be also. He's coming back for the believers to take us where He is. Amen. But heaven and all that it offers only belongs to those who are cleansed by the blood of Christ. There's no other way into the city, as we mentioned this morning in Revelation 22. Except for the works of Christ, what He's done on the cross. There's no other entrance but by the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. We realize today that our modern world and modern theological institutions are turned off by the preaching about the blood of Jesus. If you can imagine that. I think of some songs that we have even sung, some touched on here. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You know, we need to answer that question tonight. Are you washed in the blood? There's another song. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. There is a fountain filled with blood. Have you been to that fountain? Have you been through that fountain? Do you know that the blood of Christ has saved you, cleansed you, and changed you, and gave you a future inheritance, an eternal inheritance in heaven? That's what the blood of Jesus can do for you tonight. Let's thank the Lord for his blood. We're going to take some time. Our sister's going to come and play the piano. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, and we know the cup represents the blood of Christ, the payment. So I want you to think about that tonight as you examine your heart before the Lord.